Welcome to Exceedingly Abundant Ministries with Pastor Gary Cole. We are committed to bringing you the good news of the gospel, believing that God wants to make Christians whole in spirit, soul, and body. Visit our website at eaministries.net. Now, here is Pastor Gary with today's teaching.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you all. I pray that life is going well for you. Remember, Jesus Christ is Lord, and when we accept Him as our Savior and Lord, everywhere we go, He goes with us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, today we're going to be talking about our authority in Christ Jesus, our responsibility, and our identity in the Lord. We're going to begin in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now remember, Jesus is speaking. This is the Great Commission in the book of Mark. And Jesus says, all these things will be done by who? Those who believe in Jesus Christ. Now let's try to clarify that. He's not talking about those who just have an intellectual apprehension of who He is. No, those who have believed in their heart. Remember in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you say, does it work for everyone? Yes, it does. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Amen. Another expression is called being born again, becoming a Christian. That happens when a person under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit repents of their sins and receives Jesus into their heart as Savior and Lord. And we'll give you an opportunity to do that sometime during our broadcast today. Now, we're not just believers. I want you to see when you're born again into the kingdom of God, there's so many blessings. There's so much you have in Christ. So I want you to focus with me today on our identity in Christ. Notice here in 1 John chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. And recognize, again, the world system, which is governed by Satan, does not acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord. And therefore, the people in the world today who are lost, who have not yet been saved, the Bible says they're dead in trespasses and sins, so they know not Jesus, so they're not about to do what Jesus says because they don't know Him, right? That makes sense. But it's different for you and I. Let's go to verse 2. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Yes, Jesus is coming back again. He could be coming back very soon. I truly believe the next big event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church, the catching away of the saints, the dead in Christ will rise also. Then we'll have the tribulation, a seven-year time of great judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl of wrath judgments. The Antichrist will arise and sign a seven-year peace agreement with Israel. In the midst of it, he'll break that agreement. He'll set up a picture, an image of himself in the temple and say he's God, and he'll cause people to receive the mark of the beast. And if you do that, you are absolutely damned to hell. You have a one-way ticket to hell, and there's no way you'll go to heaven. And again, still people will be getting saved. There'll be the 144,000 Jewish evangelists God has during that time, as well as the two witnesses the book of Revelation talks about, and they'll be doing great miracles. It'll be a very horrendous time, and yet people will come to know Christ. And then at the end of that 7 years, the church, the saints, come back with Jesus in Revelation 19, and Jesus established his millennial rule of on earth, a 1,000-year reign of Jesus on planet earth. And that's exciting. And then eternity. So that's very exciting, isn't it? But again, you must be born again to enter into these things. But once you're saved, the Bible says, now are we the children of God. Literally, we're the sons and daughters of God Almighty. Isn't that exciting? And we're that now. We're not trying to get saved. When you receive Christ as your Savior and Lord, you're born again now. You're a child of God now. And you're not just a child of God. Let's go over here to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself, and again, remember, the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And remember, God owns everything. Amen? So now, we might have been in poverty before, but now we're rich in Christ. Amen? And as you read the Bible, you find all the promises of God and the wonderful inheritance we have in this life as well as in heaven. There's marvelous promises that we stand on by faith and see God bring great blessing into our life as well as he anoints and equips us to serve him and to be effective and to accomplish his eternal purpose and plan in this life. So it's wonderful to be born again because you are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, and you have a right to claim the promises of God because you are in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's so exciting, isn't it? Let's look at a couple other things. Go here to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, beginning verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And remember, God is the one who provided salvation through his Son Jesus. You and I have nothing to brag about. It's all because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we as beggars, as rotten lost sinners, we recognized we could not save ourselves. And we came to Jesus. We repented of our sins. We gave our hearts to Jesus and he saved us. Oh, you say, well, I'd like to have that experience. You can. Pray with me right now. This is your opportunity. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I understand today that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. I repent of my sins. I'm sorry, Jesus. Please come into my heart right now. Be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself completely to you. Thank you for saving me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer from the heart, you're now a born-again child of God. You're an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Amen? You're a son and daughter of God Almighty. In fact, we're getting ready to look at a scripture that says you're part of the kingdom of God. But you're just a babe in Christ. You need to find a good Bible-believing teaching church. Get baptized in water. There's also a wonderful experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit. You begin to grow in the Lord and get discipled, and God shows you his purpose and plan for your life, and you walk in it, and you enjoy it in this life, and then in heaven, you go on to be with the Lord, and you receive eternal rewards for your faithfulness in serving Jesus. I tell you, it's great. Amen? So welcome to the family of God, and again, the Lord bless you. Well, now let's take some more truths about our identity. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, that's Satan's kingdom, and hath translated us. And no, it's hath, it's already taken place. Hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, I'm part of the kingdom of God right now. I don't have to die and go to heaven to be part of the kingdom of God. I'm a child of God now. I'm saved now. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ right now. And I'm part of the kingdom of God. Amen. And remember, in this world, you know, we think of religions, denominations, and unfortunately cults and isms. Well, let me tell you the scriptural reality. Only two kinds of folks, those who are born again and are part of the kingdom of God, those who are lost and dead in trespasses and sins, and they are part of the kingdom of Satan. That's who is here on planet Earth, and that composes every person, okay? Without being born again, I don't care what religion or ism you're in, you're part of the kingdom of darkness. Hell is your future home, and you have no life in Christ. But to every person, no matter who it is, if you've repented of your sins, if you've acknowledged Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and asked Him to come into your heart and given your life to Him, you are a child of God, and you're part right now of the kingdom of God. And that's why your life is so important right now, that you represent Jesus well. In fact, that brings us to our next part of our identity. Let's go over here in 2 Corinthians 5, beginning verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Notice verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we beg you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Did you hear that? Do you know if you're born again? You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Now let's think about the world we live in. Think of the United States of America. All over the world we have embassies. And there's people that we've elected from the United States or been put into the position of being an ambassador for our country, but they're actually living in that foreign country. And they represent our country even though they live in a different country. You understand that? And ambassadors are very important people, amen? You are a very important person. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. You're now a child of God. The precious blood of Jesus has washed away your sins, and Jesus has made you his royal ambassador in this life. Everywhere you go, you represent Jesus and the kingdom of God. Wow. Do you see how important your life is? Do you see how important it is for you to be a bold witness of Jesus and represent him well in thought, word, deed, and action? Now, again, none of us are perfect, and when we do stumble into sin, we repent. But I'm just telling you, it's important how we live and the things we say and do, because Jesus says we are his ambassadors. And good or bad, we are representing him in this lost and dying world, and we need to represent him well, don't we? So you are someone very important. You are royalty. You are an ambassador, and that's for every person who is born again. Do you see what a magnificent position you have in Christ Jesus? Maybe just one more. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, literally a kingdom of priests. Did you know you are a priest? A holy nation, a people of his own, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, who in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And that's right. We've obtained mercy. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're not getting what we deserve. We, when we came to Jesus, received mercy and grace. Never forget that. Amen. We deserve, every one of us, to die and go to hell. But God in his mercy sent his son Jesus. And Jesus lived a sinlessly perfect life. Did all the miracles the Bible says. And the Bible says he even did more. But then the great thing he did when he went to the cross, he died on the cross for the sins of mankind. The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And then the great thing he did, he not only died, he rose again. He defeated Satan, sin, and death on the cross. And he rose the third day victorious. In fact, he came back to earth. He was here for 40 days and seen of many people. And now the Bible says he's ascended at the right hand of the Father, even interceding for you and I right now. And because he is God, he can not only be at the right hand of the throne of God, the Bible says he lives in every person who receives Jesus as Savior and Lord. He comes to live in you. And that's why Paul says it's a great mystery. But in Colossians 1:27, he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why am I dying and going to heaven? Because I'm such a great guy? Absolutely not. Because Jesus Christ lives in me, and I received his free eternal redemption through trusting in him. You see, I don't care how rotten a life you've lived, Jesus Christ died and already paid for your sins. It's a matter of you knowing that. It's a matter of you recognizing you don't want to live that way any longer and coming to Jesus, repenting, receiving him, and being born again and having all those sins washed away. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is awesome. He loves you. No matter what you've done, he loves you and you can be saved. Amen. So the Bible says he's made us a kingdom of priests. Now, Jesus is the high priest, but you and I now have access to God the Father through his son Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're to pray one for another. We have an important responsibility to pray one for another. Remember Ephesians 6:18, after it talks about putting on the whole armor of God, it says praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We are to pray one for another. Amen? That's why most Bible churches, you'll have prayer time where you pray for people. In fact, if it's a real good biblical church, they'll lay hands on you and anoint you with oil, and you'll get to see some miracles and healings. Hey, remember this, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has not changed. And if you let his life shine in and through you, the Bible says you'll do his works and greater works. Now, again, it's because he lives in you. It's because the same Holy Spirit that equipped Jesus to do it lives in you. Amen? We have the same Holy Spirit. Remember, there's no junior Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit who is God. And he lives in believers. Amen? And he's also in this world convicting boys and girls, men and women, of sin, righteousness, and judgment so they can repent of their sins and get saved. Remember, the Holy Spirit makes Jesus Christ real for people. So you pray for them, you witness to them, you share the word of God with them, and God will make himself real to people. And they can know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Amen. And then they'll be part of this kingdom of priests. You are important. Oh, you thought priests were just in a certain denomination, didn't you? No. We're all priests. We're all sons and daughters of God when we accept Jesus. We're part of the kingdom of God now. We're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Get excited about being a believer. That's whoever saved person is. Did you know that? Here's, I was studying a lot on deliverance, and one man I studied some was Neil Anderson. He made this statement that I thought was really good. He says, people live in a way of how they truly perceive themselves. And that is true. If you perceive yourself as rotten and no good and a sinner who can't do anything right, let me tell you, you'll fulfill that. But if you recognize that you're a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, that your sins have been forgiven, that you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, that you're a priest, you're a royal ambassador of Christ, then you will live in light of that perception. So that's why we need to know the truth. You know, the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people were destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Boy, that is the truth. If you don't understand who you are, the devil will tell you what a weenie you are. And if you believe him, that's how you'll act. And remember, the devil's a liar. And remember, no matter whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, Satan tempts people to do sinful things. And he tempts you to believe things about yourself and others that isn't true. You know, that's why as believers, we have to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Let me tell you, you need to have that whole armor of God on as a believer, praying, reading your Bible, and again, growing in the Lord. Amen. So that's exciting. So I hope you're excited today about your identity in Christ. Now let's talk about a responsibility. Let's go over here to the book of Matthew, chapter 20, beginning of verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. For whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto you, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, you know, greatness in this world is usually because you own your business or you get promotions, you become the president of the company and things like that. But, you know, every child of God is special and unique. But, you know, one of the great things about us is we don't act like we're better than other people. No, because we have Christ in us and we know we were just like the people who were lost. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God in his mercy and grace saved us and we found out about it and we got saved. We are servants. We love one another. We pray for others. We help others. In fact, our greatness, in a sense, is determined by how low we're willing to go as far as helping others and ministering to others. Remember, we're ambassadors. Remember, we're the Lord's servants. Remember, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know those anointings and equippings and giftings of the Holy Spirit that God has given you? That's not so you can think, well, here, I'm Mr. Special or and I can do this and that. No, these gifts and equippings of the Holy Spirit were given to you so you could humble yourselves and serve people and help them to get saved, discipled, delivered, healed, and made perfectly whole for the glory of God. Remember, you've been blessed to be a blessing. Amen? So we have a great responsibility to recognize our greatness as children of God is found in the fact that we lower ourselves and we are servants and we minister one to another. Not just to the Christian community, but we're out to win the lost to Jesus Christ. Because we recognize anyone in this life who dies without Jesus goes to hell. And sad to say, hell is going to be full of religious people who didn't recognize that Jesus Christ is God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And that's so sad. So we've got to tell people we have a great responsibility. But now let's also talk a few minutes about our authority. Let's go back to the Great Commission, which I started out with in the book of Mark. He says, these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, remember Matthew's Great Commission? Jesus says, all power, and literally the word is authority, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So Jesus has all authority. That's right. But did you hear what Jesus says? He gives us delegated authority. That means to every person who is saved, who is a believer. Jesus gives you authority and the power of the Holy Spirit to do these things we read about here in Mark. You see, you need to know Jesus gives you authority to use his name, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to turn this world around. Amen? Bring people into the kingdom. Help Christians to get discipled, to set captives free, to heal the sick, to bring comfort to the afflicted. And we can do that now because we've been given authority by Jesus to do it and the power of the Holy Spirit to do it in a supernatural way. Isn't that exciting? That's what God has done for us. Remember over here in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. But what did Jesus say? I give you power over Satan and his kingdom. Remember on the cross, Jesus defeated Satan, Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And it is the cross. So Jesus has given us power and authority, and we're now part of the kingdom of God. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We're accepted in the beloved. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Jesus says, I give you authority now. Now exercise that authority and minister to others that they might know me also. That's what Jesus Christ wants. Are you doing that? You know, Jesus is coming back soon. Oh, God has been so good to us so far in 2012. There's not been too many terrible things happen yet. Now, I believe there are some things that are going to happen that are not going to be too pleasant. But the thing is, we've got to bring millions into the kingdom of God so that when the rapture comes, they can be raptured up and not have to go through the tribulation time, that which will be terrible. If you've read about those seven seals, seven trumpet judgments, and seven bowls of wrath judgment, it's terrible. Let me tell you, you don't want to be here. So let's get people saved. Let's grow in the Lord. Let's find out what his purpose and plan for our lives is and walk in it. What do we talk about today? We talked about our identity in Christ. I pray that you got you excited. We talked about our responsibility, and even though we're royalty, we're called to be servants and to love people and serve one another and use those talents, gifts, and abilities to glorify God and to help others to know him and even help those who are already saved to grow and mature so. And then thirdly, we talked about authority, that Jesus, who has all authority, has delegated authority to every believer to cast out demons, to heal the sick, take up serpents, speak with other tongues, love and minister to people. There's so many things throughout the Bible, but he's given you that authority. But you know that authority does you no good unless what? Unless you exercise that authority. And remember, faith worketh by love. God bless you. I pray you've been built up today. And most importantly, I pray if you were lost, you prayed that prayer and got saved. God bless you.
This broadcast is made possible by our faithful partners in the ministry outreach of Bethel Worship Center in Joplin, Missouri. If you have been blessed by Pastor Gary Culp's teaching and would like to know more about our ministry, feel free to visit our website at eaministries.net. That's eaministries.net.